Okay, the very first story we have for today is from the AITA subreddit and is titled, Am I the Astronaut for Training My Parrot to Greet Guests with a Mysterious Message? So, I have this African gray parrot named Coco. He's an absolute ace at picking up phrases and, well, whispering them. He's a charming little fellow with a penchant for creating a stir with his vocal skills. A couple of months back, I decided it would be hilarious to teach Coco a new phrase to greet guests. I spent weeks training him to say, I know your secrets, in the most melodramatic tone possible. To me, it was just a harmless prank. I mean, who wouldn't have a chuckle at a bird insinuating it's about to spill the beans on some deep, dark confession? At first, when friends came over, they were startled, then laughed it off when they realized it was just Coco being his cheeky self. I enjoyed the gag. Coco seemed to love the attention, and it all seemed in good fun. But that was until last Saturday's dinner party. Among the guests was a newer acquaintance. Coco, with impeccable timing, dropped his signature phrase just as the guest walked through the door. Her reaction was not what I expected. Instead of laughter, there was a distinct flash of horror across her face. It turned out she had been grappling with guilt over a professional mishap she hadn't disclosed to anybody. The room turned awkwardly silent. Some guests chuckled nervously, waiting for her to laugh along, but instead, she abruptly excused herself and barely spoke for the rest of the evening. I tried to break the ice by explaining the story behind Coco's unique greeting, but the damage was done. After the party, a mutual friend told me that she had felt targeted, as though I had somehow trained Coco to expose her secret plight in front of everyone. Other friends think it's a no harm, no foul situation and that her reaction was uncalled for because there was no way I could have known about her issues. I feel horrible that what I intended as a playful joke deeply unsettled someone. I've considered retraining Coco or at least keeping him in a separate room for future gatherings, but part of me wonders if this was really a major misstep or if it's a harmless party trick gone unexpectedly awry. So, am I the Askinoff for teaching my parrot to say, I know your secrets whenever guests come over? This sounds like a her problem to me. Everybody else was okay with it. It's this own person, this individual person's guilt that is the problem here. That's not your parrot's fault. That's not your fault. So let me get this straight. If this person walks past anyone on the street and that person just randomly said, I know your secrets, just targeted, like you trained your parrot. Because you knew this person just looked guilty or that they would look guilty when they walked in the door. And you're like, you know what? Coco, listen to me. If you can sense that someone's hiding a deep, dark sin, I want you to say this. But only if you can really tell that they're hiding something. Your bird cannot see into her soul. She brought more attention to it than the bird did. It was her reaction that caused this whole thing to go sideways. It wasn't what your bird said. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Also, it really further supports the whole fortune cookie approach that I want to take, where I want to make fortune cookies that say shit like she knows inside on the fortune, some stuff like that. You know what I mean? Obviously, this person wouldn't take that very well, but I think it just further supports the need for this in the universe. I think we should train Navy Thunder to say shit like this when people walk in. Imagine having a toddler say that. She already does this. She doesn't say, I know your secrets when people walk in. This is an NTA. There's no way that you could have known. It's a her problem. Her reaction is what caused the stir and brought so much attention to it. It's not your fault that she feels guilty about something that she did. That's what it comes down to. This is Am I the Astronaut for wanting to go low contact with my sisters for a few weeks. So I, 23 female, have been dating my boyfriend, John, 27 male, for about 2 years. We met through work and were good friends for about 3 years before we started dating. The only issue is we live 7 hours apart. We take turns making the drive and are usually able to spend 2 to 3 weekends a month together, as well as most holidays. That would suck. Living 7 hours away from your betrothed, your intended other. That would make life very, very complicated. We have reached the point where we are about to get engaged, and I'm planning to move up with him since I can relocate much easier, and all of his family lives in the same area unlike mine. His family and friends have been nothing but sweet and welcoming to me since I've known them, minus his mother. She and I had our issues, and there were times when she was sweet and others when she was just judgmental, but he always had my back, and she recently came and apologized for her behavior, and things have been much better between us. Time out. What? You've got a future mother-in-law here who was like, I'm so sorry, I've been bitchy to you, I will be better. That's a good sign, surprisingly. I cautiously optimistic, we'll put it that way. My family, on the other hand, are not supportive of my moving up there and haven't always been the nicest to him. Well, that sucks. Background, I have three sisters, 27, 26, and 21. We grew up in a very difficult and traumatic situation to the point where we didn't have contact with a 27-year-old from the time I was 12 to 18. Because of a rough home life, we all grew up very quickly to the point that I was self-sufficient by 16. We all got back in contact right before I joined the military, where I met John. I recently graduated college and I'm now in a remote graduate program as well as working, so it was a no-brainer for me to be the one to move. As you can imagine, everyone is scared that a separation between sisters will happen again, so we've become almost too close. We have weekly FaceTime calls, group texts, and are almost completely dependent on each other. I love all of them dearly, but none of them have made an effort to get to know John no matter what he does. My little sister seems to like him when it's just us, but as soon as the older ones come around, she changes her tune. They recently all got upset with me on the phone because I called them out for their behavior and the way they gang up on anyone they dislike and don't agree with, including me. This has been a problem since we were children that they also acknowledged. This is not the first time they have done things like this, and I have a difficult time communicating with them all in a group setting. I love talking with them individually and tried to tell them that I would take some time away from the group activities and chats, and they freaked out. I tried to tell them that I still wanted to talk to them all individually, just not in a group setting. They are blaming John for my decision, when he is in fact trying to help me resolve these issues with them because he knows how much I love them. They are calling me a jerk and saying I overreacted, but I have had many conversations with them on how the way they treat John makes me feel. He has never complained and always has been helpful, kind, and polite to them, but they don't always treat him the same way. I have always said I don't need them to like my decision, but they have to respect it, and that I hope they would support me, but I haven't gotten any of those things. So am I the asshole for wanting to go low contact with my sisters for a few weeks until I feel more mentally healthy? No. Let's just get that out of the way right now. Hold on. No, you are not the asshole for wanting this. We'll talk about it more here in just a second.
No, I agree with you. I don't think she's the asshole.
So the question was,
that's right. It's so, am I the asshole for wanting to go low contact with my sisters for a few weeks until I feel more mentally healthy?
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting about this, and I'm curious as to your feedback with this, but she still wants to talk to them individually, but doesn't want to talk to them in a group because they have mob mentality. Yeah. And that probably has a lot to do with their upbringing, right? They had to be like a group to survive, and had to be stronger and meaner together than they were individually on their own.
I wonder if they, okay, so they're just blaming him because they feel like he took her away because he lived 7 hours away. Is that?
That's what it seems like. Yeah, they just won't give him a chance, period.
That's just, I mean, that's unhealthy. And to be like, that's someone that she chose to be with, to not even give them a chance to like get to know them and be a part of her life. So if someone chooses to treat the people that you love like shit, then you're going to have to start going low contact. I mean, you don't have a choice at this point.
Are any of them married?
How old was she? Like, where does she fit into the age groups?
So she has 27, 26, and 21. What is she, 23? Scroll back up.
Yeah.
23. Okay. So she's
one of the younger ones. So I would bet that the older ones, because of the way that they grew up, feel like parents, but it's almost like they're overprotective to a point of causing issues in their in her life. So I think that's where the, like, why it's over, it's, they're suffocating her basically.
Right. Well, and the younger one is fine on her own, but as soon as the older ones show up, she just adopts their mentality. Because
they're
well
like,
here.
They're the older two, I would imagine, are like the parents in the situation. So the younger one's going to automatically follow suit with what the olders believe.
And I understand being critical of partners, of your loved ones in a protective way.
Yeah.
But also, like, what's the goal?
There you go. Ash Wag said, sounds like a trauma bond that without therapy has gotten toxic.
Yep.
Yeah.
So exactly. they've been protective of each other through being hypercritical and negative about things. But what I think part of being protective of someone also has to be a, what's the goal of that? You want them to be happy, right?
Right.
I mean, you would hope that they're in negative protection mode instead of like stepping toward a positive kind of scenario mode.
And it doesn't sound like they've ever given her a reason as to why they don't like John. They just don't want to get to know him. They don't want him to break up this circle that they have, which like Ash said, that's toxic to not be able to have anyone else in this circle ever in your life. That's toxic.
It might not even be John. It might just be all dudes.
Right.
It might be all men that they are just automatically opposed to. We don't know anything else about if any of the other sisters are married or in relationships or have kids or anything like that. But I would not be surprised if part of their trauma was male directed. And because of that, they are just any male who tries to enter their lives, they're immediately protective of and do not like.
Yeah.
But I think as a sibling, protector, whatever you want to say, you have to be thinking about the ultimate happiness of your sibling and want something that's good for them.
Yeah. You're NTA. And I think if you want your relationship with John to succeed, you got to figure it out so that it doesn't do permanent damage on your relationship.
Yeah.
And you also don't want to lose your sisters, but at the same time, you can't give them that kind of control.
Going low contact with him is probably a good baby step, but you're going to get to the point where you have to create a firm boundary and say, look, if you want to be a part of my life, you've got to be accepting of the other parts of my life. And if you don't accept those things, you don't get to be a part of my life. It's pretty simple.
Right.
It's NTA for her wanting to take that time. It's not enough. There will have to be, there's going to have to be more drastic action taken at some point. It's just a matter of time, but you're getting a good preview of how they're going to react right now. And it ain't good. Because of that, I think if you baby step your way through this, it's going to be pain over a longer period of time. This feels like a rip off the Band-Aid kind of thing. Take that large amount of pain over a short amount of time, and then you'll have more time to be truly happy and time for them to adjust rather than gradually making them pissed over a long period of time. It's your choice, though. You approach it every or whichever way feels right to you, but it's going to be the same amount of pain no matter what. Am I the asshole for refusing to change the date of my daughter's birthday party to accommodate my sister-in-law's baby shower? When I, 39 female, met my husband, 40 male, 18 years ago, his baby sister was glued to his hip. There's an 8-year age gap between them. His dad worked 2 jobs and his mom worked overnight, so he was basically raising his 2 sisters. She was always with us, and even after our wedding, she would spend every weekend with us. About a year after our wedding, we had our first child, a daughter. Even having a baby, his baby sister was still with us every weekend and any chance she got. We eventually had a second baby, a son. And again, she was still with us whenever she could be. Around the time of my son's 3rd birthday, the baby sister met her now husband and things changed. I expected her to stop hanging around as often because she was almost 20 and finally had someone else in her life. However, things took a drastic turn and she basically went no contact with us. We could never figure out what happened, and for the last 11 years, that's how it's been. It's not just us this happened with. She pretty much fell off the face of the earth with her whole family. She wouldn't show up for holidays or birthday parties. Christmas gifts went unacknowledged and invitations for birthday parties and holiday gatherings went unacknowledged. Nothing. Our daughter is turning 16 this year and wants a sweet 16 party. Ever since our kids were little, we planned birthday parties according to where their birthdays fell within the week. If their party was on Monday or Tuesday, we would have it the Saturday before. If it was Thursday or Friday, we would have it the Saturday after. Wednesday birthdays were whenever it worked the best situation. Out of the blue, 2 weeks ago, I got a phone call from his baby sister telling me she's pregnant, almost halfway through her pregnancy already. This is her first baby, and I was really excited for her despite everything that has gone on over the past 11 years. I told her I was so excited for her and I couldn't wait to meet her new baby. The next day, my mother-in-law calls me to ask if I know any good bakers who can bake a cake for her baby shower. I asked when the shower was, and she told me she was having the shower the Saturday before my daughter's birthday. I reminded her that was her granddaughter's 16th birthday, and that was when we were planning her party. She said she would talk to her baby sister and see if she had that date set in stone or if she could change it. Later that day, I got a text from the baby sister saying that was the only day she could have her shower and she wasn't changing it. When she asked why she couldn't change it to the weekend before or weekend after, she said that was the only date her best friend could do it. Baby sister isn't even due to have her baby until 2 months after my daughter's birthday. This turned into a huge fight between my husband's family and I because I felt like they completely forgot my daughter, who was already on this earth and was only thinking about the new baby coming. Hubby's stepdad said he would be coming to my daughter's birthday party because you only get to have a sweet 16 once. My mother-in-law felt like I put her in a tough situation because I refused to change the date of the party. My husband is on my side with this. So am I the asshole for refusing to change the date of my daughter's sweet 16 to accommodate my sister-in-law's baby shower? Well, so the question is, am I the asshole for refusing to change the date of my daughter's birthday party to accommodate my sister-in-law's baby shower? Typically, I would say here, whoever sent that date out first gets that date, right? It's first come, first serve. If you schedule an event, it is the first person to put that date out there and get it on people's calendars is the one who has that date reserved. There are a few things to consider here. I think the first thing I'm looking at is who put the date out there first. OP kind of frames this like they didn't officially send the date out because they've always done it a certain way and expected the family to know what date that party would be happening on, even if they didn't broadcast that date out. That's a complication, right? Because you're assuming people remember your system instead of giving them the date. That's a complication that could have contributed to this. I'm not saying you did the wrong thing here, but if you had broadcast that date out or sent an invitation or sent a calendar invite out or something, it could have prevented that from happening. Now, little sister being completely dependent and attached to your husband for as long as she was and then dropping off the face of the earth and then randomly popping back up and being like, oh yeah, my shower is the same day as this. That feels intentional, doesn't it? This feels intentional. This feels like I am fighting actively for the family to have to choose. I'm fighting for attention, but I'm fighting for them to have to choose. I'm not just popping back in with my new pending babe and expecting to be welcomed with open arms and jumping back in as a part of this family. I'm jumping back in and causing a lot of shit on purpose. This feels intentional by her. It's the only day her best friend could do it. Well, the best friend's schedule doesn't really come into play when it comes to the baby shower, or does it? I don't know. Birthday party Saturday, baby shower Sunday. Everybody will be in the area anyways. Sister-in-law could have had fertility issues. Maybe, but what does that have to do with the date that the party is on? So now you've got two parties here who are like not budging and not budging. Eventually somebody's going to have to give. In this scenario, you've, as long as the family is well aware of what day your daughter's sweet 16 was going to be, and they're well aware of your system and when that party would be happening, even if they didn't receive an official date, this is the 16th time that they've been to this event. Like they know that's going to be happening. Sister shows up and just runs amok and tries to cause a lot of shit. OP, might be worth a conversation with your daughter and be like, here's what's going on. It's causing your auntie is causing all kinds of shit now, but let me ask you, would you be open to doing your party the next day? Because right now the family's going to have to choose. And if nobody shows up to her sweet 16, she's probably going to be hurt by that. Which would hurt worse, having fewer people show up to her party or having to move it a day? I'm not saying that's what you should do, because your sister-in-law is definitely causing shit here. And it feels intentional. But that doesn't change the fact that your 16-year-old daughter is going to be harmed in this process here. If this sweet 16 has like a venue booked and has a lot of things reserved, which event changing causes more pain? Yeah, this just came out of nowhere. It's in it, and it definitely sounds intentional, right? It seems like she's just causing shit to cause shit. I'd still have the conversation with your 16-year-old if you don't have like a bunch of things booked for that specific date already, like a venue or attractions or a band or whatever. I would have the conversation and be like, hey, here's what's going on. You're the one who is going to be hurt by this if people don't show up, so do you want to move it? Now, the question, am I the asshole for refusing to change the date of my daughter's birthday party to accommodate my sister-in-law's baby shower? Specifically, no, you're not an asshole for that. Let's go ahead and make that clear here. Not an asshole for refusing to change it, but I don't think you're going to win. This is the problem. You're not the asshole here, but I don't think you're going to win. I think sister-in-law's going to stick to her guns, too. It's going to end up being a split family here where some people go one direction and some people go the other, and that ultimately is going to hurt your 16-year-old daughter. So unfortunately, I think you may end up having to compromise here, because I don't think this the crazy sister's going to. This one is titled, am I the asshole for wanting to cut or go low contact with my dad because he's choosing his new girlfriend and her daughter over his son and daughters? Story, so here goes. My dad was married first to our mom. Three children resulted in this marriage. My older brother, C, 27, me, male 23, or me, M, 23, then my younger sister, K, 22. They divorced when we were all little. Then he married our stepmom, L, back in 2009. Since that time, Dad and L have and will always be my mom and dad. They always showed up for us kids. We never had to try for their attention, and we felt loved. But fast forward, Dad and L recently got divorced, December of 2022, because Dad was cheating on L with a coworker who at the time was also in a relationship and getting married herself. Assuming that didn't go through. Did the cheating stop her from marrying her partner? No. Oh, damn. I was wrong. She went through with it, and they only got divorced because Elle told the new husband and provided evidence. Since then, Dad has continued the relationship with the coworker, HW. Wait a second. So she went ahead and married this guy anyway, even though she was cheating with Dad in this story. And then the guy she married found out, they got divorced, and now Dad and this coworker are still together. That's interesting. Okay. I feel like she has been causing a huge gap in my and my dad's relationship. I moved states away when I graduated high school, but I still had a great connection with my dad. We'd have our weekly calls and he'd try to come out to see me or vice versa. But now I never hear from him unless I'm the one to initiate the conversation. I haven't physically seen him in a year because I refuse to visit the state where the family is divided and hostile, but my door is always open to them. Dad has been making time for HW and taking her on multiple trips and extravagant activities, and now is taking her daughter, S6. My dad has now bailed on me multiple times since she's been involved in all of this, including me getting married, where I kept it very, very small, but gave him enough time to plan accordingly. He has also been bailing on my sister, who lives an hour from him, to please HW. Me and K are at the point where we feel abandoned and unloved and are both tired of begging for his attention or attendance for our lives. I hold resentment to HW, and I don't ever see that changing, and we are both considering going very low to no contact with him over all of this and more letdowns he's done. So I ask, am I the asshole? And it was, am I the asshole for wanting to cut or go low contact with my dad because he's choosing his new girlfriend and her daughter over his son and daughters? No, I mean, it's understandable. I think the one reality check I would have for you in here is there's an assumption, right? There's an assumption with HW. You don't know for a fact that HW is convincing dad to make these changes. You know that dad has checked out, right? So either way, it's on dad, because if HW is trying to persuade him to be less involved with your life, yes, that's fucked up. But also, he needs to put up the fight to prevent that from happening. Ultimately, the decision to not contact and the decision to bail on you is on him. It is on him to maintain that connection. It is not controlled by her. It could be influenced by her, but it is also a could be. You don't know for a fact that it is. So I would try to, yes, the change that is related to her showing up in his life is what caused, is where this went sideways. You don't know that she intentionally caused that. This could be his choice. This could be him actively just choosing to pour all of his love and attention into her instead of spending time or maintaining a connection with his kids. It could be 100% a brozo move here, and she could be completely unaware. It's possible. I'm not saying that's the case, but it's possible. So either way, it's on dad and you asking, are you the asking out for wanting to cut or go low contact with your dad because he's choosing it? No. Oh, you're not the asshole for that at all. It's completely understandable. I would just try to reserve any ire you have for the girlfriend until you know for sure that she is an intentional part of that. But by proxy, I understand you're frustrated with him, so you're frustrated with her as well. And the timing of everything makes it very suspect and more likely that she is involved with influencing that, but you just don't know it for sure yet. Don't know it for sure yet. Probably trying to keep her from cheating on him. It's possible. I mean, yeah, that's entirely possible. It could be that they're all into each other to the chagrin of anything else in their lives right now. And that's entirely possible. No matter what, it's on him. It's his choice. Even if she is actively influencing him to stay away from his kids, it's on him to be a dad and be like, no, I'm not doing that. Sorry. Has she never told the dad how she feels? Would have cut him out after the missed wedding? That's a good point there. I think this needs to be, communication will solve this, right? If you ever get the chance to have a conversation with your dad, if he doesn't bail on you for a phone call or something, this is a conversation that needs to be had and say, here's what we feel like is happening. We need you to clarify. Tell us what's really going on here so that we know who to be pissed at. It definitely has to be a conversation, though. Communicate this. And it could be that he just has decided he wants to do this instead. And he's doing that in a kind of come what may way. Because obviously, if you do that, you're going to harm your connection with your kids. Obviously, you're going to be damaging the relationship. So he's choosing, he's accepting that risk by doing what he's doing. Am I the asinot for divorcing my wife because she lied about her fertility? And this is update number 2. I'm sorry for the multiple posts, but you guys have been so helpful. Definitely more than my family and friends in real life. I took your advice and met with my sister-in-law over lunch. She was very reluctant to give me any info, but here is what she said. Natalie is in no contact with her parents since before Kaya was born. She didn't lie about that part. I asked if she knew who Kaya's dad was because Natalie got upset every time I asked and refused to talk about him. She was surprised and said, "You're kidding, right? You can't be this naive. It's obviously Ryan, her boss, the guy who owns the yoga place." I asked about their relationship. She kept saying, "Natalie really loves you." I begged her to tell me everything. She said she thinks, not sure, the reason Natalie had an abortion was that she wasn't sure if the baby was mine or Ryan's. Either way, she didn't want another baby. I was floored. She was cheating on me? The same time we were trying for a baby? With the same guy who already abandoned her once? What is going on here? Why? I was stupid enough to start a college fund for her kid, yet she cheated on me at least once with this guy. I'm going to lose my house and half of everything. She said, "Listen, you are a good guy. Just move on. No need to dig more. You are making yourself crazy." Oh, no need to dig more means there's more to dig and uncover. I asked if Kaya knows who her dad is. She says, "Absolutely not, because Ryan has zero desire to be in her life. I want to tell everything to Kaya before leaving, but my parents think this is crossing the line because I'm not her dad or mom, and it's none of my business. My friends think I want to tell her the whole truth to hurt Natalie, but it's the opposite. I know how awful it is to be lied to, and Kaya deserves the truth. My parents think I act like a crazy person, and I should just meet with the lawyer." What the f*** is happening here? What? Okay, so it did get worse. It did get absolutely worse. So she didn't just lie about her fertility. She was also cheating on him. And with her boss, is she still working at the yoga place? Like, what the hell's going on here? If she's still working at the yoga place, how does she like see this person every day? And surely her kid has been there at some point. So this Ryan guy who is her boss, but wants absolutely nothing to do with the kid, sees the kid and is just like, "Yeah, that's my kid. That's you got nothing here at all." Meanwhile, OP, who has been the functional dad for this girl for, what was it, 8 years or so, at least, wants to tell her the truth because he wants her to know the truth, wants her to know what is actually going on. And everybody's like, no, you have no place because you're not her dad. Well, functionally, he has been her dad for 8 years or more. He has been her father figure for that amount of time. understandably has no legal rights here because he never adopted her or anything, but would you want to know? She's 12. If you were in this position, would you want to tell her? He will be the face of the abandonment. I feel like he has some entitlement to tell her something. Oh, that's true, because she's just... Her understanding of him right now is that he's bailing on both of them because mommy couldn't give him a baby, which is f***ed up in the first place. But yeah, at least have the opportunity to set the record straight and expose mom for how big of a shit person she really is here. Wait until she gets older. 12. I mean, it's 12. She's going to find out eventually here, right? Wouldn't you want it to be someone who she knows and trusts? To let her know in the first place. And also in that position, if somebody thinks that I'm abandoning them and am a terrible person, I definitely want to clarify that as well and set the record straight. And if doing that requires that I expose someone else for being an actual terrible human being, so be it. This is another follower submission, and this one is, am I the astronaut for getting upset about having lunch/dinner with coworkers? I, 32 female, and my husband, 32 male, work for the same entity. We work on the same campus, but our hours differ a bit, and we work in separate buildings. This being said, we do have the same lunch time, so we try to make lunch a priority for each other, as we have 3 children who are 4, 18 months, and 4 months. What? They have 4 years old, an 18-month-old, and a 4-month-old. We don't have any family nearby, so lunchtime is the only time we have for just the two of us. Recently, a female coworker who works directly under my husband has been inviting herself to lunch with us. She never asks. She just follows us like a lost puppy and gets in our vehicle. I have voiced that I am okay with this every once in a while, but it happens often, so it's taking time away from my husband and me to just be together. He says he understands, but is afraid saying something to her will upset her, as she's a very sensitive type, and he already feels like he's walking on eggshells with her at work. She cries every time he has any sort of constructive criticism, etc. Oh boy. I personally have mentioned to her that lunchtime is my and my husband's time together, since we are always working or have the kids, and she just smiles and says, I totally understand, but then still invites herself. Yesterday, right before time for lunch, my husband came into my office and she was following behind. I kindly conversed with her. I went and clocked out and began to walk out with my husband. She followed. We walked back to the parking lot and she was still behind us a few steps back. We got to my car. I unlocked it. Hubby and I got in as we sat down. She opened the back door and got in the back seat. My husband said, are you coming to lunch with us? She said, well, yeah, I'm not just getting in your car for no reason. It really got under my skin. Am I wrong for this? Lunchtime is my venting time with my husband. It's our time to just talk about whatever and whomever. Don't judge me. I know you and your significant other gossip to each other too. So her tagging along, especially without even saying anything, is rude to me. He's having a dinner with some people this weekend and wanted to invite some people from work. He mentioned a few names, but then said, but if I don't invite female coworker, I know she's going to be upset and feel left out. I told him I really didn't want her to come because I'd been annoyed by her and I didn't really care if she got upset. He hasn't invited her, but now I'm wondering if I was wrong for being annoyed and not wanting her to tag along again. A few things to note. 9 out of 10 times he ends up paying for her lunch. She always says she'll cash app, but rarely does. She is married and her husband works for my husband's side business. We are more than just coworkers, but not super close. Okay, so the question here is, am I the astronaut for getting upset about having lunch/dinner with coworkers? Okay, that is, am I the astronaut for feeling something, which you cannot be the asshole for feeling a certain way about anything, right? It is what you do with those feelings that can make you an asshole or not make you an asshole. In either case here, your actions or inaction by this, you're not an asshole yet. And I don't think you're going to be an asshole when you finally do create a firm boundary, because that's what needs to happen. All of this beating around the bush is just, it's just letting her see that what she is doing is okay. It's enabling this behavior, right? Until you say, hey, today is just us, okay? Until you create that boundary and say, hey, look, on these days of the week, it's fine if you want to tag along. On these days of the week, it is just hubby and I, because those times are sacred to us, okay? You're going to have to nicely. Create this boundary at some point. If you don't, this is going to fester and it's going to bubble. And then one of these times you are going to be an asshole because you're not going to effectively communicate. You're just going to blow up. And even though it's her actions and she's crossing a boundary and is doing this kind of socially awkward behavior, even though it's her action that's going to drive you to that point, your response, if you let this fester and bubble up and then explode, is not going to be proportionate to the what's happening at that moment. It is going to be an overreaction as perceived by her. And then she's definitely going to cry about that. You've got to communicate in a very simple, kind way right now and add some structure to it and be like, these days of the week, it is just hubby and I. And if she tries to tag along on those days, be like, oh, hey, remember, this one is just us. You can do that without being mean. You can definitely do that without being mean. Or you can say, hey, for the next 2 weeks, we've got some really important, heavy family stuff we've got to talk through at lunch. It's going to take all of that time. We need the next 2 weeks just to ourselves. You can do that kindly without making someone feel inferior. I mean, you can do that without being mean. She's a clinger, though. She's a dingleberry. She's just hanging around. You would be, yeah, Candy's letter, you would be pissed. We would have these conversations. So when we got home after the kids got to bed, this would be the first thing we jumped on a conversation and be like, okay, what are we going to do about this? At what point are you going to stop letting it just take up mental real estate up here and actually put some kind of solution into place? Right now, it seems like all you've done is mention in passing very, very, very passively and say, hey, you know, every once in a while is fine, but every once in a while is not. There has to be some structure to it because you're leaving the door open for her to just tag along every single time. Now, I think start with structure. Either say, hey, for the next week or 2 weeks, just us, we got some stuff we got to work through, or say these days of the week, it is just hubby and I. What do you think about that, Candy Thunder? Would that work?
But why is the husband more worried about how he's going to make this woman feel than how he's making his wife feel? Because the husband has said multiple times that he doesn't want to tell her no because he's afraid it'll hurt her feelings. But his wife, who has a 4-month-old, needs her time with her husband. This is all they get. And he's worried about hurting some other woman's feelings whenever they have their one-on-one time. I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be raging pissed.
Well, look,
I'd be like, you handle that and you do it now.
Because she works directly under him.
I don't care. That's my, like... They have 3 kids, 3 tiny kids at home waiting for them to suck all their time. And this is 1 hour out of a day. You fix it and you fix it now. That's what I would say.
Okay. So I think the interesting thing here is that, you know, Candy Thunder's feelings are that this needs to be something that hubby takes charge of because she works directly under him. She's following him whenever he goes to connect with his wife to go to this lunchtime thing. I understand that. And yes, prioritizing her feelings. And I know why he's doing it. He's doing it because it will create immediate tears, right? With his wife, it doesn't create an immediate visible effect. It creates frustration, which builds and festers and eventually will explode. But that's not something he can see immediately. If he does something to upset his subordinate that keeps tagging along with him, it'll be immediate tears. So it's an immediate effect. He's thinking, I'm choosing this, I'm choosing not to have the immediate effect here. Here, Candy Thunder's coming back in.
But she works for him.
Which is why he feels like he has to tread lightly.
Clearly, he's not doing a good enough job as a leader boss to not set a boundary that a coworker can't just climb in their car and go to lunch with them.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is too lax in that case. If they don't want her there and she's climbing in anyways, that's too, like, if we said, no, we're just going to lunch by ourselves today, no one would question that.
Right.
Because we're husband and wife. No one should be questioning them going to lunch by themselves. And no one should definitely be inviting themselves to it.
Agreed.
Like, if that's
the case. Just been too passive to this point. Now, yeah. Now, OP.
And he does sound passive because he's worried about hurting her feelings.
Right. Well, it sounds like he's done nothing. And OP, you know, you have a we, like, what do we need to do about this? And maybe reframing that as a he needs to do something about this because she is the subordinate. But also, I really like your point that from a leadership perspective, this screams leadership failure, right? Because there's no respect given there. If she feels chummy enough with him to tag along like a lost puppy every time you guys go to lunch, there is a respect boundary that is blurred to the point where, like, it's fine if you guys are friends outside of work, but he's also her boss. And there has to be a respect line and boundaries there. There have to be boundaries. It is on him to communicate this first. I think it's on both of you to communicate it at some point, but it's on him to communicate this first and to add some structure for it. And here comes Tony Spark.
So when you guys start to go pick up Navy and go to get lunch, I'm going to start riding in the car. I'm going to start going with you guys and just climb in and just, I'm just going to, Candy's going to keep trying to lock the door. I'm just going to climb in and we're just all going to go. Big family trip.
Big family trip. My thought here is that if you don't get a handle on this thing, next thing you know, she's going to be climbing into your bed with you. Like she's gonna be trying to get in the middle of you two in bed. Like at what point do you speak up here? When does it stop? I really, really think that you can just communicate and do it. You can do it in a very kind way, but doing nothing and being passive like you have been to this point ain't working. If he takes the lead on this and adds some structure and creates a firm boundary here, it is going to help their work relationship. It's going to help him as a leader. It's going to help in a number of different ways. And it is going to help show you, OP, that he is prioritizing your feelings over hers, which is a big deal. So am I the astronaut for saying I didn't realize being an introvert also made you a rude bitch? I wasn't talking to you. That's the name of the, that's the title of the story. Candy Thunder. It's the name of the story. I may be the asshole, even if I feel like this was justified. I, 23 female, will keep it short. My new sister-in-law is extremely rude. 25. She will straight up ignore you if you try to talk to her. She is never engaged with the group and is always on her phone. One-word answers are very common, eye rolls, and so on. This has been brought up multiple times to both of them, and the reason she gives is that she's an introvert. I'm also an introvert, and I know that means I get my battery charged by myself and not in group settings. It doesn't mean introverts don't know how to interact with people or be polite. We had dinner for the youngest 21st birthday. After the food, everyone was mingling. My mom tried to talk to her and got the cold shoulder. I went up and asked her while she was on her phone if she wanted a take-home box for some cake. I was asking everyone this. She ignored me. I asked again, and she told me she was an introvert. Leave her alone. I snapped and told her I didn't realize being an introvert makes you a rude bitch. She looked shocked, and my brother called me a jerk for this. We got in an argument, and they left. The family agrees that she is rude, but I probably shouldn't have said that. My sister asked why we even invited her to family events because she always acts like that. So outside opinion on this, am I the asknot? No, you are not. This person is not an introvert. They're just a rude bitch. And also, every introvert out there in the world hearing this story is like, how dare you? How dare you claim to be one of us just so you can be rude to people? Introverts aren't rude to people. That's not how this works. They aren't this kind of rude to people. That's not just an introvert thing. It's not actively ignoring people. This is combative, right? This is being passive aggressive combative. That is not being an introvert. For someone to just decide that they're introverted and that means that they don't have to talk to anyone, even when people are trying to directly talk to them, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. I'm an introvert. Leave me alone. Said no introvert ever at a family gathering. Also, if she's an introvert and she doesn't like being at these gatherings, why does she come to the gatherings if she's uncomfortable there? Who is she to them? It is sister-in-law, new sister-in-law. That's just an excuse to be rude, Janine. Sure. Yeah, she's not allowed in the introvert tent. Kelly says, I'm an introvert and I would never say shit like that. You may think it, but you wouldn't say it. But this person doesn't seem, I don't, what would you say she is besides a rude bitch? Just that somebody pretending to be an introvert or using that label as a license to be a bitch. And that's it. Probably has nothing else that she identifies with being an introvert in. It's just shitty to people. Yeah. Yeah. Not, you know, thinking everyone is beneath you and that you shouldn't have to, you shouldn't, like, their presence doesn't warrant a greeting or response, or this is a hierarchical kind of thing. This is not an introvert kind of thing. She thinks anybody that tries to converse with her is beneath her and they don't deserve her attention. That is not being an introvert. An introvert is probably also more conflict averse, but she's definitely not. That's why I think she's like passive aggressive combative is probably the most accurate thing I can put on it here. An introvert wouldn't do anything to bring attention to themselves, yet here she is intentionally ignoring people like that's gonna not cause a scene. I broke my wife and I don't think it is fixable. There are many, many ways to take that. This happened 6 months ago, and I only chose to talk now because I don't see an improvement in sight and I am hopeless. We were at a party, my friend is single, and we started talking about love and relationships. My wife and I have been happily married for 7 years. We have 3 beautiful children. She is the love of my life. When I was talking to my friend, I felt like we were on different levels of thinking. His complaints are mostly superficial about how the people he dated looked. I was a bit drunk at that point and said something like, "Y'all fall in love with looks. Look at me and my wife, and I love her more than anything compared to my ex, who was just looks." Everyone went silent, and my damage control was worse, so I ended up shutting the hell up. I couldn't get my point across, but even I thought that maybe these thoughts have been in my head, but only came out when I was drunk. My wife was shocked. First week, she was so angry and wanted to understand what I meant, and nothing I said was good enough. I was drunk. I love her. I think she's the most beautiful woman. She thought being drunk made me say true feelings. Then one morning she just said, "You know, I have never felt as ugly as I have felt this past week. I have always thought I was beautiful." She didn't cry this time, but she hasn't been happy since. I started crying and apologizing, but she was like emotionless. It was the last time she looked at me, too. She is taciturn and distant, but only with me. She has lost 20 pounds and she works out 6 to 7 days a week. She never has free time with me. If she's not with the children or her family or friends, she's immersed in some book or has her headphones on. She's always fully clothed, now even in bed. She locks the bathroom door when she takes a shower. She's more active on social media, too. She shares many pictures of her, and she thanks everyone who gives her a compliment. Before, it was just pictures with our children and pets, but now it's her, working out in sports bras and tights. I broke her, and I don't know how to fix it. Top comments here. You say your damage control was worse. What else did you say that night, and how long did you do it for? OP's response, my friend and wife... And my wife's friend and husband were very silent, and I started saying that I didn't mean that my wife wasn't good looking. I just meant that I loved her for other things. I'm doing my best, like, drunk talk version of him again. Then, even worse, I said that sometimes you are very attracted to someone and everything is a whirlwind with them, but you have nothing in common and see no future, and I probably alluded that I used my brain and not my dick when looking for a relationship. I thought it was the logical way of thinking, but for her, I think she would have preferred that whirlwind and passion. I haven't read all the comments. This is the first one I read that asked to explain the damage control. More top comments here. One, yeah, knowing what he said for damage control is necessary because that error would have been so easy to fix. Oh, God, no. What I meant was my wife has more than good looks, which is why our marriage works. She's more than just a pretty face. So I can only imagine what he spewed to make it this bad. Two, the fact that everybody has asked him and he hasn't said, I'm going to guess it was bad, even too bad for the batshit insanity of Reddit. Oh, well, we know what he said now. She didn't cry this time. That says a lot. Indifference is worse than being emotional. She's done with him. I was thinking the same thing. She's not just indifferent at this point. She's preparing her launch back out into the world. She's doing all this stuff for her. She's working on self-improvement. She's posting a lot of individual self or individual social posts. She's past indifference now. She's already begun her launch back into the world, bro. Like, you're way too late in this process here. All right. We got an update that's 26 days later. She is checked and prepping. Checked out and prepping. Yeah. She's done. I would be shocked if this update is like, oh, everything's fine now. There's no way. There's no way. All right. Update 26 days later. We have been going to counseling and my wife at first has been very reluctant to open up and wanted to pretend that everything was fine. One session, she just asked me, I want the truth here and now. No sugarcoating and do not try to spare my feelings. Did you find me attractive when we met? I really didn't know what to say to this.
Oh, God. Ignorant.
What do you mean you didn't know what to say to this, bro? There's only one thing to say to this. There is only one answer. The fact that you didn't know what to say to it is an immediate meltdown failure. Like, why did you even go to counseling if you couldn't find an answer to this question? Why did you even go? Well, just throw the towel. Somebody in this boy's corner, just throw the towel, man. He needs to stop fighting. He's only digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper. I love her more than anything, even more than my children and myself. I think that she's the most beautiful woman I know, but did I immediately think that when I met her? No, I didn't really find her attractive. We all grow up having a type. I remember thinking that she wasn't exactly my type, but she was so lovable and sweet. It didn't take me long to fall for her, and now I find women who look like her attractive, so I guess type is something very superficial and fleeting. I told her the truth. She cried and said that she herself didn't know why she was so hurt and crying. She knew that there were more beautiful women. She never wanted to be the most beautiful woman either, but that she had always been considered beautiful by other people, which is true, and always gotten attention. But the fact that the one person she wanted to be found the most beautiful girl in the world by didn't think that, and that's what made her sad. The man she loved way before we even started dating. This was on our latest session, and it was the most draining experience. Later, when we got home, she apologized for making a big deal out of something this trivial, but that she just couldn't help it, and she was confused to why it affected her so badly. She apologized. She apologized for making this a big deal. Like, wow. On Saturday, she told me that she didn't want to stay in our marriage, that something broke inside of her. She asked me if I would try to hurt her and the children if we did separate, if I would use them to get back at her, alienate her, because she chose to leave. I promised her that none of this would happen, that I loved her and wanted her to be happy even if it wasn't with me. Our families are in an uproar over this. Mostly they're angry with her.
What?
That she let her insecurities get the best and worst of her.
What?
But I don't think it is insecurity, to be honest. She has never cared about people's attention. She just realized that the only person whose approval she cared about didn't give her. At least that he had to learn it, and that wasn't enough. I'm going to go ahead and do this before we read the comments on the update. Brozo. What? You know, most people, whenever they have a thought, it runs through at least one filter. And you think, how is this going to be received by the person I'm about to spew this nonsense onto? And then it goes through a couple of revisions in your head before making it to your mouth.
This guy is like a lucky strike. He's just completely filterless. He is just full bore, straight pipes, just no filter whatsoever. Just digging himself a grave that is deeper and deeper and deeper every time he opens his damn mouth. I do not understand why he went to counseling if he was going to say the shit that he said. And it doesn't sound like he's trying to be hurtful. He's trying to be 100% honest, but you have to. I don't know. I don't get it. Comments on the update. One, dude, your pencil is not sharp at all. You really could have changed the way you said that to her. I had a type back then, but one look at you and that type was broken because you were the most amazing woman I had ever met. You were different than any other woman in the best ways possible. You also could have said, you fall in like with looks, you fall in love with the person they are. Your wife is struggling and you keep putting your foot in your mouth. Two, he is so painfully honest in the worst and most stupid way ever. Three, honey, your ugliness isn't that bad. Look on the bright side, your immense obesity detracts from your face. Jesus. After a while, you forget it's there and you just focus on the obvious stretch marks. That's good. That's a good thing. Four, your families are angrier with her. Five, probably not. The dude just doesn't know how to read social cues, so when they listen to him or talk sympathetically, he interprets it all wrong. This guy chose poorly at every turn. I mean, it was a very simple choice of like, here, buddy, here is a box of nails and a piece of bread. Which one would you like to eat? He's like, nails every time. Why, I don't know. I'm just trying to be honest. I'm really attracted to those nails. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? And of course, we've got to get Candy Thunder's feedback on this too. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring her back in. The one and only Candy Thunder.
I think the part that got me the most out of this story was when he said that both of their families were upset with her.
Yeah.
Because she let her insecurities get the better, worst of her. Which means that there's a reason that she's insecure, and I guarantee you it comes from her family. Like she doesn't see herself as that. And whenever it's brought up again, because it's something that she never healed from, and then to find out that the person that's in your corner that loves you the most doesn't think that you're attractive to them. Like, and then so all of those insecurities that she's probably had her whole life, and I bet she's beautiful. Like, beautiful women can have insecurities. Beautiful people can have insecurities. Like, it just, it doesn't matter what you look like. Everybody has their own set of things that hurt them. And this was one for her. And I feel like that's why she couldn't come back from it. But my God, dude, it was just like cringe after cringe. And I feel like you do not understand social cues in any way, shape, or form. Like, you don't understand what not to say in a situation. Even in counseling, you're like, look, did I think you were pretty? No. I'm like, you said the one thing that you shouldn't have said, and you said it multiple times over and over and over again, and your wife was just waiting for you to fix it, and you just kept up harder. I really feel bad for her, and then for her to be the one that everyone blames, like she did something wrong. But yeah. I'm like, you broke her.
Apologized.
I know.
They got back from that counseling session, and she's like, I'm sorry, I let this become a big deal. What are you doing? What?
But I think there's, like, we all have those, like, flaws, you know, those things that we see within ourselves. And it's like, when somebody points that out, and somebody, like, if you were to point something out in me that hurt me so bad, like, how do you look at that person and not see that flaw every time? And yeah. So she looks at her husband every time, and she feels like she's not good enough. So you can't stay in a relationship like that. Because, I mean, at that point, it's destined to fail. Like, she can't look at him and be like, oh, this man loves me for me. She looks at him and says, this man
judges me for X, Y, Z.
Yeah, doesn't think that I'm beautiful enough for him. I didn't fit what he thinks a woman should look like, or his type should look like. And I feel bad for her.
Sergeant Mac, commenting here that Ellen saying that this can't be the first time this subject has caused issues in the relationship.
Right. I think this insecurity, the fact that her family was like, just get over it. Don't screw up your marriage over this.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's not something that she did. It's something that he opened. He opened the can of worms, and we can't get it back in there. I don't know. That's not a saying, but
he's pushing a rope.
Yeah. I understand what he was trying to say. He just said it in the worst way possible. He said it in a way that broke his wife, like, literally broke her.
Part of me thinks that could have not have been her reentry into the world as an independent individual, single individual, but also could have been her, like, recharging her battery, you know, like trying to make herself feel pretty and getting compliments from people on social, because she knew she could do that. And that was recharging her battery, or it was validation. But it could have also been a step toward divorce, a step toward independence, because that's where it's ending up here. So,
yes. I think that she has some work to do on herself so that this can't be used as a weapon against her. If you see yourself as beautiful, nobody else can question that you're beautiful, because it only matters what you believe. And if she sees herself as beautiful, this wouldn't have affected her so deeply. And I think that's maybe why she apologized. Not the fact that it's going to end their marriage, but the fact that she allowed it to hurt her so much. And so I think if she were to work on that and, like, find herself beautiful, then maybe she can heal from this and be in a healthy relationship next time. Because maybe what he did was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back. But
I'm super surprised that you nailed that saying. I think that if she were in a position where she were happier with herself when this happened, and his drunk, filterless ass said what he said, which obviously isn't an alcohol induced thing, because he did something he equally as stupid in counseling.
Yeah.
It's clearly not an alcohol thing. But if she were happier and more at peace and confident within herself, she probably would have just given him shit for putting his foot in his mouth, and that would have been the end of it. If I said something stupid, you would have given me shit right then, and I still do it. Yeah, I do it. I do it all the time. But you would give me shit right then, and, you know, 2 minutes later, it's over. It wouldn't have been haunting you, I don't think.
No, and I put myself in this position of OP and his wife, and I feel like I don't think I would leave you over that, because I know how much you love me, and I know that whatever you had said, you didn't mean it the way that it came out. But I feel like maybe she's always doubted that because of her insecurities. Yeah. Maybe she didn't feel actually like surrounded in love. And so I think to me, it's like, I don't question whether or not that you love me. And so I know if you were to say something like this, I would probably be pissed, but I wouldn't let it affect me this deeply. But if you, me 10 years ago, would have ended a relationship over this.
I hear you.
So, but me now, you know, like being loved by someone completely and unconditionally, like changes who you are as a human being. So he can say that he loves her all day, but if he didn't make her feel loved, then there's a reason they ended up here. And it wasn't just this one thing.
Right.
Like it had to have happened multiple times. This same kind of scenario where he stuck his foot in his, or his foot in his mouth. Is that the right?
Yeah.
Thing? Okay. Look at me. I'm nailing two in a row. Hey.
Look at that.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's definitely a, I think this is one of those things that like slow cracks, first ding creates that crack and right. Then there's more cracks build over time before that eventually breaks, that window right. breaks. Like, so it happened slowly over time. This definitely wasn't the first thing, first time this has been an issue for them. It's definitely not the thousandth time. That's a hard word to say. The thousandth time.
Not even going to attempt.
This has been an issue for her, right? Even before him. So this has been something that built for a long time, but this was a brutal enough ding to where it just sent the whole thing flooding down. And yeah, she's got to get back to a spot where she's 100% confident and happy with herself.
Agreed.
And we talk about that a lot, getting yeah. to that point before. Otherwise, there's a lot of pressure involved for the person that you're with. And in this case, there was a lot of pressure on him and his opinion on that kind of thing because it broke her whenever he voiced it.
Right.
If she can get strong enough to where somebody saying that doesn't hurt you. I think that's where you got to be. Hey, Dusty Thunder here, and I wanted to thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that content, and if you did, please make sure to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Also, you can find swag and so much more at dusty-thunder.com, and you'll find even more content on all of our platforms. We're on TikTok, YouTube. We now have an official Facebook page that we'll be posting stories to as well. We have podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and so much more. You can see all of our content platforms on Linktree, which is linked in my bio. Engage with us wherever you're enjoying content and do your best to avoid the Askenots today. Thanks again.